At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Congress members are trying to reach an agreement on the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA. That's a program that protects young people who came to the U.S. illegally as children from deportation. Democratic Congressman Mark Veazey of Fort Worth says he wants to be hopeful that Congress can hammer out a deal.
It's tough right now because, quite frankly, the leadership in the Republican Senate and the leadership in the Republican House, they're very far apart. And because of that, I'm concerned. There were some guarantees apparently made to Democratic senators, but those guarantees were not made on the House side.
Republican Texas Senator John Cornyn says he's hopeful a bipartisan group could produce immigration legislation that passes the Senate, but he says the plan would need President Trump's support in order for the U.S. House to approve it. There are about 120,000 so-called Dreamers in Texas and about 700,000 nationwide. Child welfare advocates in Texas say they're concerned after a federal appeals court late last week halted the implementation of a judge's order that the state make sweeping changes to its foster care system. Lee Nichols with Tex Protects says foster kids can't keep waiting on litigation to play out.
We do wish the state would go ahead and fully cooperate with the court order. Childhoods are short, so any delay in fixing the system greatly concerns us.
Kay Murphy with Texas Care for Children says the temporary hold doesn't necessarily mean Texas can't keep working to improve foster care.
So my hope as an advocate is that seeing what has come down in this order and what the state is going to be expected to do if they lose the appeal, the state will start taking some steps and proactively be working toward implementing or including the policies that are really good for kids in the order into the work they're already doing.
The state last Friday quickly appealed a ruling by U.S. District Judge Janice Graham Jack. She says much work remains for Texas to cure the woes of the foster care system she had found unconstitutionally broken 2 years before. A new report shows the number of Texas women dying during or soon after childbirth has risen dramatically in recent years. And black mothers are disproportionately at risk. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Texas Tribune reporter Marissa Evans about why black women die more than other mothers.
We really can't talk about black women and black maternal health unless we're talking about systemic racism in the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. You know, you have women who do not feel like they can talk to their doctors. You have unconscious bias against black women when they're trying to ask questions or perceptions about if they'll follow their doctor's orders when it comes to their health plan. So all of that is a very important distinct factor, too, in terms of how do we welcome black women into the healthcare system. I think a really important example in the last few weeks alone has been with Serena Williams telling her own story in Vogue magazine about her own pregnancy complications and how she had to fight her doctors to get the care she needed. And so I think that was a really powerful statement that's going to actually help a lot more people think about how do they perceive black women, how do they perceive black mothers, and also just in general about how we listen to women and their postpartum period. You know, I think it's very easy to write it off as like, well, this is normal. And well, no, we know what scans look for. But I think, you know, medical professionals have to think about women, and particularly I think mothers after giving birth know their bodies better than anybody else.
Learn more about maternal mortality at kerenews.org. And while you're there, you can read highlights from today's interview with Marissa Evans and listen to the podcast of the conversation. As Texas gears up for another election season, one race you might not hear much about is for Texas Railroad Commissioner. The current chair, Republican Christy Craddock, is running for re-election, so we figured it's a good time to look into just what the Railroad Commission does. As Mose Bichelle with KUT in Austin reports, it's a much more powerful office than the name might lead you to believe.
If you have a milkshake.
In the brutal final scene of the 2007 movie There Will Be Blood, sociopathic oil man Daniel Plainview meets his rival for the last time.
And I have a milkshake.
He explains how he drained oil from the other man's land without giving him a dime.
And I have a straw. There it is. That's a straw.
If oil fields are like milkshakes, he says it pays to have a straw that reaches all the way across the room
and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Wow. What a performance. But does it have anything at all to do with the Railroad Commission? Yeah, yes, it does.
You know, the commission acts like a court.
This is Charles Matthews. He served on the three-member Railroad Commission of Texas from 1995 to 2005.
I always say the Railroad Commission, you don't have to be real good in math. You only had to count to two, because two people can make any decision.
And they decide on disputes between oil and gas drillers.
Somebody maybe who's trying to drill a well and somebody who's trying to protect a well.
So nobody drinks someone else's milkshake.
All business is a lot about closeology. The closer you can get, the better chance you have of hitting a well.
But Mose, you say, I don't own an oil well. Why should I care? Well, here's why. On top of refereeing disputes, the commission regulates oil, gas, and more. That's drilling, mining, pipelines.
You know, the thing that just terrified me were the pipelines.
Matthew says when he served, there were 260,000 miles of pipeline in the state. He worried about leaks or explosions all the time.
And you've got inspectors out there, but there's not any way in the world that anybody can monitor every day, all of the time, 260,000 miles of pipe that's underground.
By regulating Texas oil and gas, the commission also wields immense economic power. Of course, there are things the Railroad Commission does not control, and one of those things is railroads. The name is just an historic artifact from the early days of the agency. Lawmakers can't seem to change the name, no matter how often they try.
And the industry likes, you know, they've legislatures tried to change it. The industry just raised Cain. They like the fact that the name is so unique, it's special to Texas. It's, you know, Texas is just a different place. And they don't want to change it. They don't want to change it.
The people who are deeply involved in the Railroad Commission, that is, people who get their livelihood from oil and gas, would just as soon not have the name changed.
David Prindle is a political science professor at UT Austin.
Partly because it's not well known in the rest of the state what exactly it does, and that's not necessarily a bad thing if you want to influence the commission.
Prindle wrote a book on the Railroad Commission in the early 80s. He looked at the relationship between oil and gas companies, he calls them producers, and the agency that regulates them.
And what I discovered was that because the homegrown producers finance Railroad Commission elections, essentially, through campaign contributions, essentially they are the constituency of the commissioners.
Most people who serve on or run for a seat on the Railroad Commission are pretty upfront about that. They treat oil and gas not just as an industry to be regulated, but as a constituency to be served.
Well, I mean, there's not any question that you know the industry.
Again, former Commissioner Charles Matthews.
I mean, you're talking to the industry all the time. They're the only people that are interested in what you have to say.
But that is changing as drilling in Texas impacts the daily lives of more and more people with no direct link to oil and gas. Everyday Texans are starting to take notice of the commission, often because of environmental concerns, says David Prindle.
When the interests of the Texas producers has run contrary to protecting the environment, commissioners are much more likely to pursue the interests of their constituency as opposed to the environment.
Also, the commission grants companies the power to take land through eminent domain. That's something that's earned a lot of attention from landowner groups. So before you cast your vote for a railroad commissioner this year, take a look at the candidates' positions on the issues. And remember, it has nothing to do with railroads and everything to do with milkshakes.
That was KUT's Mose Bouchel reporting. For the evening, mostly clear skies with a low around 36. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 63. It's 628. This is KERA News.